now, your hosts for Life from the Pulpit, here's Nick Perez.
Yes, and how's it? And welcome to Life from the Pulpit, the cutting edge in biblical exposition, coming to you on location in Merced, California, home of the Merced Church of Christ. This is the fastest half-hour podcast in the West, where I, your humble servant, the voice of the valley, Nick Perez, offer up news and views you can use on Scripture and society with a little help from my friends. Greetings. Welcome to the program. You've probably already seen this, but I want to, if you haven't, share it with you. This came out last week. 4 ways to encourage your kids to leave the church. This is put out by Daniel Howell. He's the preacher for the Metropolis Church of Christ in Metropolis, Illinois. 4 ways to encourage your kids to leave the church. Number one, make other things a priority over church assemblies and functions. Make sure that you're giving your child the impression that there are some things that are more important than assembling with the church if they are big enough, quote, big enough. Be sure the church comes second to some things. These things include, but are not limited to, sporting events, vacations, family get-togethers, and even some forms of working. Only doing this occasionally is sufficient to get the point across to your child. Better yet, cut out Bible class entirely and only come to Sunday morning worship. There you go. Make other things a priority over church assemblies and functions. That's number one. Number two, don't talk about God. Don't talk about Jesus. Don't talk about the church. When you are at home or in the car, keep your lips sealed when it comes to spiritual matters. Don't ask and don't tell. At any point, don't talk about Jesus. We might expand upon that. Number three, when you do talk, be sure to complain. Nitpick as much as possible. Complain about everything. The preacher, his sermons, the elders, the deacons, the singing, the song selection, the Bible class teacher, Bible class materials, young kids, older people, any other Christian who's different from yourself. Complain as much as possible. Never give your child the impression that you're appreciative of the church, that you respect those who serve it. Never be satisfied. Be sure to plant the seed of dissatisfaction in your child's mind. And fourth, indulge your child's immaturity. Despite the fact that they have yet to develop a real concept of the value of a dollar, give them full control when it comes to the most valuable asset, their soul. Even though they might want to eat pizza and French fries for every meal, let them make every soul-affecting decision for themselves. If they don't want to do it, don't make them do it. This applies to all aspects of participation, including Bible class, worship, and for the boys, even leading worship. Make attendance optional. For that matter, make everything optional with no consequences. I thought that was good. Sarcastic. If you're going to do something, you know, do it all the way, right? Do everything heartily, as unto the Lord. 4 ways to encourage your kids to leave the church. Now, he does go on. The article actually gives 4 prescriptions to this. He says, of course, no Christian parent really wants to drive their child away from God and the church. But sometimes we do things that might inadvertently do just that. We might do one of these 4 things. Now, he also goes on to say, you know, it doesn't, just because you do one of these things, doesn't necessarily mean that your child's on a pathway to hell. You can establish a precedent, to be sure, in some of these things, doing it more than once, and that sort of thing. But catch yourself. You got to catch yourself before you make these pitfalls. So, he gives these 4 prescriptions. The first way to encourage a child to leave the church would be make other things a priority, right? Over church assemblies, over church functions, stuff like that. Well, the prescription for that is Matthew 6, verse 33, where our Lord says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So you want to be sure to put the kingdom first. That's first priority in your life, in your family's life, and because they're your kid, that's going to be first priority in their life. You don't let other diversions become the thing which takes your focus away from the kingdom. You're not going to let those diversions take you or your kids away from the Lord's kingdom, from ultimately his church. Brother Howell says, even missing or failing to participate a few times can set a precedent in your child's mind that's hard to change. So you want to be sure, put the church first, put God's kingdom first, his rule, his reign in your life. And by the way, when you do that, it'll manifest itself in your worship attendance. Bonus points, he says, are given to you if you attend gospel meetings, singings, summer youth series. We have here YBC, Yosemite Bible Camp. Go to Bible Camp. Such things as that. That's how you combat making other things a priority. Do what Jesus said. Seek first the kingdom and the righteousness of God. The second way to encourage your kids to leave the church is don't talk about God, right? Don't talk about Jesus. Don't talk about the Holy Spirit. Don't talk about church. Anywhere, at any time. Keep your lips sealed. Well, the solution to that, Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 and 7. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk in the way and when you lie down and when you rise. Make the most of every opportunity that's presented to you. Take those opportunities to teach your children, to talk to them about God, about Christ, about the Holy Spirit. We are to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 16. Make the best use of the time, or redeem the times, buy it back, as it were, because the days are evil. So whatever you're doing, maybe it's a ride home from a ball game, maybe it's maybe you're on your way somewhere, maybe you're walking your kids to the park, maybe you're just at home sitting around, maybe whatever it is, it's a good time to discuss God. Take those opportunities to teach. They're all around. Howell says mealtime can become Bible time. Just start talking about it. So that's the solution to the second way to encourage. The third way, remember, to encourage your kids to leave the church is when you do talk, complain a lot. Find fault in your brethren. Find fault in everything at the church. Well, the prescription to that is do all things without grumbling or disputing. Philippians chapter 2. In verse 14. So don't complain, just do it. That's Howell's advice. Just don't complain, just don't do it. There's no good reason for it. He says that complainers often wait for others to do the changing, inadvertently teach the principle of the squeaky wheel to their children. Squeaky wheel gets the grease, right? We are told to do all things without complaining. People of Israel complained back in their day, didn't they? They murmured in their hearts. In the words of Dr. Phil, how'd that work out for them? Fourth. Let me just remind you of this one. Indulge your child's immaturity. Let them be immature. Don't let them grow up. Let them make their own spiritual choices rather than you being the parent making the choices for them. Proverbs 22, verse 6 is the solution. Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Howell points out that the word train literally means to narrow. Narrow down the pathway. Some places it's translated dedicate. Dedicate your child to a certain course. The path that is ultimately the Lord's path. Rein in their immaturity. And again, that's exactly what it means to train. Narrow their focus. There's a lot of different paths out there that they see before them on a constant basis. Many different ways that they can go. Narrow it down, right? That's what it really means to train. Narrow their focus to the Lord's path. And so, by no means exhaustive, four ways to encourage your child to leave the church. We certainly want to avoid those. In fact, there are biblical remedies to all of these. So, what else could be said? Well, we'll talk about that more in just a moment. But first, this half hour brought to you by the Merced Church of Christ, located at 2050 Parkway. The Merced Church of Christ is composed of people devoted to the Word of God, people devoted to the worship of God, and people devoted to the work of God. Our purpose is to worship God. Our purpose is to see as many people as possible following Jesus as closely as possible, all toward a more united fellowship. The Merced Church of Christ meets every Lord's Day, that's Sunday, for Bible study at 9:30 a.m., morning worship at 10:30 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. We also meet for midweek service on Wednesday for Bible study at 7 p.m. She's served by her preaching minister, yours truly, Nick Perez. Go online and visit www.mercedchurchofchrist.org. Merced Church of Christ, relational, reliable, real. Well then, what do we do? I've got so many suggestions here. Just list of what are our children need. And as a young father, these are things that I'm learning and striving to incorporate into my own life. Hopefully, it's helpful to you as you move forward with your children. We need to, and I'll just see how many I can get through for the remaining several minutes I have. You need to talk to your children about the very real dangers, the very real challenges that are out there in the world that they're facing. Danger is very real. Satan is constantly on the prowl. He's looking for souls to devour. That's the way he's portrayed by Peter in 1 Peter chapter 5. And Solomon, in his wisdom, talks about how, Proverbs 27, verse 12, the prudent sees danger and hides himself. The simple go on and suffer for it. So prudence, how do you instill it in a child? To instill prudence in a child, you need to talk to them. You need to open your mouth and talk to them about the very real dangers that confront them and the challenges that are out there spiritually. They need to be proactive about those things, to identify them. You need to encourage your children to make wise decisions about the friends that they choose. Bad company corrupts good morals. Boy, that's a principle that even pagan Gentiles got, because that's who Paul quotes when he says that in 1 Corinthians 15. He quotes, that was a play from a play, Meander's comedy. The comedy was named Thais, but bad company corrupts good morals. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. Do not be deceived about that, brethren. Paul didn't want the Corinthian brethren being deceived about it. I don't want you being deceived about it. The friends that your children select will determine whether or not they succeed in life. We're talking educationally. We're talking about even financially, socially, but most importantly, spiritually. You know that from your own experience, don't you? We could speak from experience about the friends, the company that we kept. Were they helping you or hindering you from getting to heaven? You need to. Part of this means that we cultivate within our children perceptions, the ability to keep a sharp eye out, right? To keep a lookout for these things, to be able to identify and to be able to spot these things. And again, keep a sharp eye out. Children, they need their parents to be, well, in the language of James, to be swift or quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to become angry. And I can already, some of you parents of teenagers are probably groaning over this, right? Oh, come on. No. This is a biblical admonition to be slow. And by the way, this is a thread which is throughout your Bible about being slow, quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to become angry. By the way, that slowness and anger is a divine quality. God is a God who is slow to become angry. Children need parents, in a similar vein, who when they speak with wisdom. Children need parents with wise tongues, wise mouth, wisdom from the mouth. Children, when you parents hear them, and that's a critical thing, right? To be able to actually hear your child speak. I'm not just talking about the auditory, you know, little tiny fuzzy things in your ears vibrating because of the sound of noise. But to actually hear, to listen to the heart of your child as they, when they open up, and you allow them to open up, and then that slowness to speak, when you finally do speak, open your mouth with wisdom. Open your mouth with a word fitly spoken. Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 11 talks about this. Again, the wisdom of Solomon. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. In other words, that word of wisdom at just the right time, that's a beautiful thing. That is a beautiful thing. That's what Solomon is communicating. We need to be parents who are reassuring to our children, who, when they do good, we encourage them to continue to do good. We support them in that. Strike a healthy balance, though, between that and when they do bad, there are repercussions and there are consequences to that to those actions. God is a God who rewards those who diligently seek Him, but He's also one who disciplines those that He loves. Hebrews 11, verse 6, chapter 12, it's all in there about the discipline aspect. So, again, strike that healthy balance there. Children need parents who are humble, who practice humility, who are clothed with even the humility of Christ. Learn to appreciate verses like Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk. Micah 6, verse 8. What does the Lord require of you, right? Would He be pleased, verse 7, with thousands of rams, 10,000 rivers of oil? Here, the answer in verse 8. He has told you, O man, what is good. What does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly before your God? So we need to understand, and we need to realize on a constant basis, we need God's help. We need to be quick to recognize and turn away from our own mistakes, acknowledge them for what they are, and move forward better equipped and better prepared to communicate to our children that mommy and daddy aren't perfect. But we do always strive to pursue in Jesus' footsteps. What else? You need to be parents who encourage our children to be givers. The Lord loves a cheerful giver. And we need to cultivate within our children hearts of giving, hearts of contribution, where they give back. They give back to God, certainly, but also to their fellow man. Service. They're willing to serve their fellow man, their fellow compatriots and that sort of thing. To be involved in community service, that's a good thing. But also to be involved in service projects with the church, to be involved in serving their brothers and sisters in the Lord's body. We are called to serve one another from a heart of love. And so we need to encourage our children, encourage kids to give and to be givers, not to be takers. Too many children today are takers. That's the world they live in. The world they live in says, take, 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 get all that you can. It's all about the money, all about the Benjamin's baby, right? It's not about making millions, it's about making billions. I want to be a billionaire so bad. Your boy 50 Cent out there singing all kinds of lyrics about, you know, how many stacks he of cash. It's all about taking. It's a culture of taking. It's a culture of entitlement. We need to instill in our children, you need to give. And it's good to give. God loves it when we give. And oh, by the way, parents, don't just say it, do it. Not be merely hearers of the word. Do what it says. Put it into practice. That's going back to James chapter 1 again. We need to model giving for our children and to do it cheerfully, not like we have been baptized in pickle juice and we've just put a whole bunch of hot sauce in our mouth. Give cheerfully. Let your children see you give cheerfully. We need children, parents need children, I should say, who are worthy of respect. Be worthy of the honor which your children, by the way, are commanded to give you. That's the only commandment ever given to a child. Honor your father and your mother. Listen, though, parents. Listen. Be worthy of that honor. Children owe it to you, but be worth it. You know, we owe worship to God, but he's worthy of it. In fact, our English word worship comes from Old English, worth-ship. God is worth. He's worthy of our worship. He's worthy of our honor. And so be parents who are worthy of that honor. After all, you are the model for God that your children are going to see and going to grow up into. So you need to be worthy of that. Proverbs talks about the worthy woman, right? Proverbs 31. So there you go for you mothers. How about you fathers? Be men of God. Act like men. Pursue true, authentic manhood, patterned after, by the way, the model of Christ. Pilate says of Jesus, "Behold the man." That's some very sage advice, although I don't think he fully comprehends the implications of that. But that is very sage advice for every man out there. Behold the man. God came down into flesh and he was a man. A lot more could be said about that. Children need parents who are self-disciplined. Proverbs 25 and verse 28. Proverbs 25 and verse 28, got to get there. A man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls. There you go. There you go. You're just prime for Satan to come in and rob you of whatever glory and honor and all that stuff. You're a city without walls. Crumbling walls. That's what a man without self-control is. Proverbs 16 and verse 32. Again, in the same vein of self-discipline, whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty. I talked about that slowness of anger over in James. There it is. Connect that dot. But the rest of verse 32, he who rules his spirit is better than he who takes a city. Man, self-discipline is a powerful, powerful thing. And so wise parents, they know the power of a consistent lifestyle of self-discipline. Self-control is all over the New Testament. But let me just give you a passage where it is very concise, and it's all over. Titus chapter 2, throughout this entire chapter here, older men are to be, verse 2, self-controlled. Older women are not are to be reverent in behavior. They are to teach what is good. And so train young women to be, verse 5, self-controlled. Likewise, urge the younger men to be self-controlled, verse 6. Titus himself is to be a man of integrity and dignity. Slaves are to be... continue. Where is it? There it is. Let's start at verse 11, Titus 2, verse 11. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all people, training us to renounce ungodliness, worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age. That's all, again, self-control, self-discipline. Mastery of self. Children need that in their parents. Children need parents who are willing to be different. There's all kinds of conventional, modern-day speak, wisdom out there that argues that teens, they need to be free. Free to choose. Choose their own values. Choose their own God. Make up their own God. Free to chart their own paths without fear of consequences. They need to be free to choose their own sexuality and their own gender identity. And many parents, it would seem, believe that tripe. And they really don't think they have much of a say in the matter. But again, Proverbs 22, verse 6, train up a child in the way they should go, when they are old, they should not depart from it. Ephesians 6 and verse 4, do not provoke your children to anger. Bring them up in the discipline and instruction, or the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Very great responsibility is placed upon parents in raising their children. You know what happens when you leave a child to themselves? When they're left on their own. Folly is bound up in the heart of a child. That's what Proverbs says. The rod of discipline drives it from them. But also, Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 15, a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. Yeah, so how's that working out for you if you just leave your teen or your child, your kid, to just go his own way, do his own thing, choose his own values, choose his own God? Children need parental guidance. They need parental teaching. And wise parents know God's way is the best way. Children need parents who know the Lord and know His Word. How about Proverbs 3, verse 5? Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Yeah, you need to know that God. You need to trust Him. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh, refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of your produce. Again, that's all Proverbs 3. We need to have a deep well from which we can pull forth the coolness of the Word. And we can pour forth that water into the minds and the hearts of our children. You cannot bring up your children the nurture and admonition of the Lord if you don't know the Lord and His admonitions and His instructions and His admonishments. And without knowing the Word of God, you can't raise your children in the Lord as you ought. And so again, know the Lord, parents, and know His Word. Drink deeply from the wellsprings of His Word. Go back and reread Psalm 119. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. Where are they going to hear that word, parents? Where are they going to hear that word? If not you, then who? I'm out of time. Feel free to leave a comment on the website. I always like to hear what you have to say. Also, now on iTunes, search the iTunes Store Library for Live from the Pulpit podcast and subscribe to it. You'll get every episode. Also, find the Life from the Pulpit Facebook page and like us on Facebook. You get all of our updates when I go live with a program or I update the blog. Also, follow me on Twitter at the letter N as in Nick Pulpit, P-U-L-P-I-T, at N Pulpit on Twitter. Be sure and stop by the Life from the Pulpit blog, www.lifefromthepulpit.wordpress.com. All of my commentary there on Luke, James, 1 John, all there, all available, all free for you to use and peruse in your everyday Bible study. Also, check out Merced Church of Christ website, mercedchurchofchrist.org. Plenty of sermon audio there for you to use and peruse in your everyday Bible study as well. And as always, brethren, grace be with you all. Thanks for listening.